they're coming out. It is Let's Talk here. We're on a Thursday morning edition. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have some open phone time coming up toward the end of this morning's program.
For folks who aren't familiar, what's that bumper you
did? That would be I'm Coming Out.
I'm Coming
One
Out.
One Diana Ross.
Okay, perfect. Timing. All right. All right, let's go for the bet. Well, first, let's welcome our guest, who we've had on the show before, but in person this time, Dr. Michael Skvarla of Penn State. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll get to the bad news in a moment. All right. First off, it's been a while since we had you on the show talking about insects and things. Let's get some background. Tell us about yourself. What's your background? What do you do at Penn State and so on?
Sure. I am an assistant research professor at Penn State in the Department of Entomology, and I run the insect identification lab. So if anybody in the public finds a bug, finds an insect that they want to know what it is, if they send that to the department, all of those get filtered down to me, so I deal with all of the public requests for insect ID.
So how do people do that exactly? If I find a bug in my yard today, like, what the heck is this? How do I do that?
Sure. About 90% of what comes in is via email. So cell phones honestly have really good cameras anymore. And even for blurry things, I can usually tell what it is because there's only maybe 150 insects people regularly see, especially in their homes and their gardens. And so even with blurry stuff, I can usually tell what it is. So you take a picture with your phone. Send it to me via an email. Include some information like where you are, where you found it. That can help. And I will tell you what it is. And if that doesn't work, if I need to see it in person, then I can send instructions on how to send the physical specimen through the mail to the lab so I can look at it under a microscope.
All right. Where do they email? I'm assuming there's a certain website or address?
The web address is long, so if you just Google Penn State Insect ID, Penn State, my last name, I'm the only Skvarla at Penn State, as you can imagine, the instructions will come up. They're the first hit on Google or whatever search engine you're using. You can also send it to my personal email if you find that, or my work email if you find that.
All right. Your last name, by the way, is Skvarla. Skvarla.
Yep.
All right. Are you like a Viking or something?
It's Czech.
Czech. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. I just sound like a Viking. Who knows? All right. A few weeks ago, I follow news. I'm doing stuff. I come across this story. I'm looking at a map, and I'm thinking, oh, no, 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 no. Cicadas. Okay. Now, let's start from scratch. For folks who don't know, what is a cicada?
So if you hear the kind of buzzing sound in afternoon, late afternoon, towards evening, but not at night, typically later in the summer, late June, July, especially in August, the dog days of summer, those are typically cicadas calling. Those are annual cicadas, so those are the species. We have about 15 in Pennsylvania that come out every year. They're here every summer, so you always hear that kind of trilling in the afternoon and the early evening. But what is coming this year, people may remember it because of Brood 10 a couple years ago, are periodical cicadas. So unlike the annual cicadas, periodical cicadas come out either every 13 or 17 years, depending on the species. And they'll come out in these big mass emergences. So you'll get millions, billions of cicadas across an area. So this year is brood 14. This is the second largest in terms of geographic area. There's going to be emergences here in Pennsylvania, but also further south, a little bit further east into Kentucky. If listeners remember brood 10, it came out in the southeastern portion of the state 4 years ago. This is going to be similar, except instead of down there, it's going to be up here in kind of the central portion of the state.
So we're ground zero for this.
Yes, although we maybe want to temper people's expectations.
I'm okay with the expectations being tempered.
So I wasn't here 17 years ago. I was, in high school?
You were younger.
Yeah. Not here. So I don't have, memories of what it was like here. But from talking to people, the periodical cicadas here are going to be pretty patchy. So you'll get patches where there will be a bunch. But you'll also, you know, if you were to outline the area where they're going to be, they're not going to be everywhere in that area. You'll get them here, you'll get them there, you'll get them in certain areas, okay. But it's not going to be like this blanket emergence of cicadas across all of central Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, there's a little good news, I hope. For folks who aren't familiar, describe a cicada. I mean, how big is it? Big red eyes? Like, ugh, like, tell me about this thing.
Yeah, so periodical cicadas are smaller than the annual cicadas. So if you've seen like green and black cicadas, they are green and black. They have these clear wings that are kind of tent-like over the abdomen. Periodical cicadas are a little bit smaller, but they're still pretty big for insects. They're about the size of your thumb, and they are black. They have these bright red eyes. They'll have some orange kind of on the black body, and then they'll have clear to orangish clear wings held over the body.
All right. Now, here's the part of this I've never understood. Where are they? Where have they been for 17 years? What's the deal with
that? They've been
that?
Here. They've been underground. So cicada nymphs, all of them, the periodicals, the annuals, all of them, they feed on plant sap from plant roots, typically tree roots. So they're down 2, 3, 4 feet underground, feeding on that sap from those tree roots. And so they're deep enough. Most people aren't digging directly under trees, so they don't see them. And most people, if you're digging a garden, aren't digging down that deep. You know, most people are working in the top 6 to 12 inches of the soil, so they're deeper than most people are digging. So they've been here for the last 17 years, just most people aren't looking where they're at.
Okay. Because, let's see, this is May. A couple of months ago, now I live out in a rural area. I'm from Penns Valley, and I've got 12 acres, and we had a relative who lost a pet. All right. And they didn't want to just throw away the pet. They wanted the pet to be buried. And we have sort of a spot on our property where it's not a pet cemetery. That sounds bizarre, but you get the idea. So I had to dig a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't see anything. I mean, this is a pretty deep hole. I didn't see any, I don't know, bugs or what would I have seen if I would have encountered cicadas?
So the cicada nymphs, the ones that are down underground, they look like the adults, but they don't have wings, and they're a tannish to brown color, and they've got these four legs that are spiny because they use them for digging through the soil. They're called fossorial for digging. If you've ever seen the cicada shells that get on the side of trees, that's what the cicada nymphs look like. In the places where the periodicals are becoming out this year, those shells are going to be all over because the cicadas are going to be all over.
Ugh. Okay, when is this expected to happen?
Soon.
Okay.
It depends on soil temperatures. So the soil has to reach 65 degrees. And so further south, they're starting to see emergences. So in northern Georgia, southern Virginia, I just saw today there were some adults seen in northern Virginia. So they're coming. It's kind of the emergence is moving north. We'll probably see them here in a week to maybe 10 days. If it cools off a little bit, it might be a little slower. But sometime in very soon, week 10 days maybe.
All right. So these suckers come out of the ground and then do what exactly?
Mate and die.
That fast?
Ta-da!
Yeah, done!
So they live for, the adults will live for 3 to 4 weeks. They don't typically feed very much. They might take a little bit of sap, but they're not feeding, basically. They come out, the males sing, they attract a female, they mate, the females lay eggs, they die. I had a colleague, maybe this would be good for radio, I had a colleague, because these are 17-year cicadas, that said they're like horny teenagers that come out and scream in the trees and have sex and then die.
Okay. There we go.
I don't know if we can say that on live radio, but there you go.
You're fine, actually. So they don't cause damage? I thought they, you know, chewed plants or something.
So they don't chew plants. The nymphs underground, because they're feeding so slowly, it takes 17 years for them to grow full size. They're not feeding very much in any given time, so the trees can withstand it easily. So they don't do damage underground. The one time they do a little bit of damage is female cicadas lay their eggs in twigs. They'll cut a small slit, lay their eggs in there, and when trees get enough damage on these small twigs, the twigs will die. So you'll see what's called flagging. You'll have a perfectly healthy tree and then patches of like little dead leaves. But they only lay their eggs in deciduous trees, the trees that lose their leaves. And if it's a healthy, big tree, the damage is minimal and the trees recover quickly. They're used to losing twigs, losing leaves, that kind of thing. It doesn't do much. The one exception is if you have like a newly transplanted tree. So if a tree that is small and stressed out because you just plopped it in the ground, if it gets enough cicada damage, it can die. And so the advice is just don't plant trees if you're living in an area where there's cicadas coming out this year. And if you do, maybe put a net over them for the next 4 weeks until the cicadas are gone. That's really the only damage they can do. It's not very specific and fairly minimal.
Are we aware? Is there a benefit to cicadas? Do they have a role in our overall ecosystem?
Sure. So periodical cicadas all mass emerge because it's a predator avoidance strategy. It's like zebras on the Serengeti. If you're one in a million, you have a much lower chance of being eaten. So they all come out, mate, and lay eggs all at the same time. And the predators that eat them, things like turkeys and other birds and squirrels and small mammals like mice, they get stuffed. They physically can't eat more cicadas. And so the ones that are left, the millions that are left, can mate and lay eggs just fine. Huh. And so the animals that can eat them do really, really well. Birds will typically, you know, they won't lose nestlings because they have so much food. It's like an abundance of food. They do, you know, raising babies is really good for the animals that can eat the cicadas this time of year.
So people come in for Penn State football games, they stay at hotels, they have a lot of fun. Birds are coming into our neighborhood getting ready for the smorgasbord. Is that about it?
Could be. I've seen turkeys especially will eat them. Some of the smaller birds can eat them as well. But, I mean, cicadas, like I said, are as big as your thumb. So it's typically some of the bigger birds. I imagine crows would do pretty well. But, like, little songbirds, bluebirds, aren't typically going to be eating them. So it's kind of your bigger birds, I think.
All right. So these things show up, and you said the males sing, as mm-hmm. you put it. How, and if it's this many, how loud does this get?
It can be really loud. So cicadas in and of themselves can be very loud, just a single one. Periodical cicadas, because you've got millions of them on the landscape in some areas, it can be, I don't want to say deafening, because it doesn't hurt your ears, but, you know, very, very loud. Not quieter than a jackhammer, but not by much.
Oh, great. It's compared with a jackhammer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Geez, I don't remember this from 17 years ago. Now, again, you said this is kind of spotty, so maybe where I live, it just, they're not there. But apparently down the road, they could be there, right? Is that roughly speaking, I guess?
Yeah, so 17 years ago, there was a survey in the area, and if you look at where they were found and where they weren't found, they're in these straight lines because you can hear the cicadas, you just drive along the road listening for them. And so we have a really good map of they weren't here or they were here. And I guess I could, the listeners can't see it, but I can show you guys on my phone.
I was going to say, I want to get this map.
If you Google, it's at the University of Connecticut, so if you Google Yukon and cicada, you'll find it. Huh. And so there's a lot of places where they weren't found. But looking here in central Pennsylvania, they were present in parts of northern Huntington County, parts of Mifflin County. Here in Center County, we've got them up in the Bellefonte area and up around, what is that, Bald Eagle State Park.
Okay.
But then, like, State College proper, they didn't find any. Out where I'm at, in Patton Township, out towards Stormstown, they didn't find them. I'll be listening because I'm hopeful to find some on my property. But, you know, they're in some places, they're not in others. So if you want to go see them, you can either find this map, see where they were 17 years ago, and go to those areas because you're higher chance of finding them. Or just drive around listening. And if you drive long enough in within the region, you'll probably find them somewhere.
Penns Valley on that map?
I don't think so. They may have skipped Penns Valley. I don't know.
Do they? Are we expecting that they're going to be pretty similar to the map 17 years ago, or is there a chance that, like, how would they
spread to other areas, and is that something, I guess, we're anticipating with this go-around?
So with periodical cicadas, we generally expect their ranges to contract or shrink.
Okay.
They can fly, and flying insects disperse. But they typically don't fly very far because they just can mate where they are and lay eggs where they are, so they don't typically go very far. And because they live for 17 years underground, they're really sensitive to soil disturbance. So if you have an area where there were cicadas 17 years ago, but now you put in a subdivision, chances are that they're gone because all of that soil disturbance just killed them off. So what we're seeing in the long term is slowly contracting and breaking up of the ranges of where they're at, where they used to be everywhere.
So this is not horny teenagers going to Vegas, all right? We're not making a long road trip.
No, they typically don't go very far.
Okay. And how many, this is brood number
14.
How many broods are there?
So they're not, they're numbered sequentially, but there are gaps. And I don't recall how it goes. There's at least 14 broods of the 17-year cicadas, which this is.
Huh.
There are fewer broods of the 13-year cicadas, and they, it goes like 1 through 15 or whatever, and then jumps some numbers for the until brood 13s start, and they start a new numbering. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately.
All right, no, it's fine. I just, is there any other insect out there like a cicada? I mean, the 13, 17-year thing is bizarre to me. Is there any other insect like this?
Not really. So this is a phenomena that is pretty much restricted to eastern North America. And, you know, we think about these kind of natural phenomena. Millions of insects. Like, this is a really cool thing to go see. Like, you don't get this in other parts of the world. And normally we think, like, well, that kind of thing happens elsewhere. That happens in the tropics, in Africa, in South America, somewhere that's not here. And so it's really cool that we get this incredible phenomena that, like, people would travel from across the world to come see this because it's so cool to, like, be in the midst of all these cicadas and hear the deafening sound and be overwhelmed by just insect biomass.
So this is a tourist attraction?
It can be. And, you know, especially for Brood 10 a couple years ago, the really, really big one that is kind of all over the U.S., people certainly came from around the world to come see it.
Okay, that's weird. That's just bizarre. All right, so
see, you take it for granted, Gazy.
I call the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. Go like, hey guys, we got an idea for you. Here we go.
Absolutely.
So these things are going to show up somewhere in the next 1 to 2 weeks and last for a month.
Yeah, about a month. So the adults come out. It takes them about a week to get ready to mate. So they'll come out and then be quiet for that first little bit. Then the males will start singing, and it'll, you know, it's like a bell curve. They'll start out slow. The ones that emerged first are going to be the first ones to start singing. Then you'll hit peak emergence, and that'll last for a week, maybe 10 days, and then it'll start to fall off again. So it'll be really loud for maybe a week.
You're giddy about this, aren't you?
It's really cool. I'm hoping
it'll be a really good party, and then the party's over. And man, is it over.
Yeah. Well, and people get annoyed by it, but really, it's not. It doesn't happen for that long. You know, you can I was out of power for almost 4 days. Like, you can withstand a week of screaming cicadas.
Yeah, I'll take the cicadas over the losing of the power. Yes.
Okay, we'll see if they show up in his yard.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Scavarlo, we appreciate your time this morning. Again, when I saw this story, and actually one more quick question.
Sure.
The story I saw mentioned the University of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. They've got like some special department or something for all this stuff?
Not a department, but you can imagine there's a lot of insects and not very many entomologists. Like, we've got a department here, and even that we've got a handful of professors. So you can't study everything. We don't have a person here that studies cicadas. I'm here because I kind of do all the general interviews about everything because I've got to talk to the public. Mm-hmm. Up at UConn, they've got a guy that studies cicadas, and so that's why a lot of the material coming out about them is from up there, because he's the guy. There's also another guy out at Ohio that studies them as well at, I forget where. So there's, you know, basically two professors in the country that made their living off periodical cicadas, and that's it.
Wow.
So you go to them for, like, the information.
Interesting.
I got a cigarette guy. Got a beer guy. Yeah, I got my cicada guy over here.
The cicada guy. So again, I want to find that map, search for University of Connecticut cicadas.
Yeah, and it'll come up.
It should come right up. Okay, because I'm sorry, doctor. These things, insects drive me a little crazy. Could they get? They don't get into houses, like burrow into houses, or anything.
No, and they don't bite. They don't do anything but make noise and damage trees a little tiny bit. So there's no risk to humans. There's no risk to pets. They're not toxic. So if your dog eats them, it'll be just fine. It'll be like any of the other predators out there eating cicadas. They're a nuisance because they're loud, and that's about it.
Given some of the stuff that Kenai eats, I got to tell you, cicadas would be a welcome.
You're fine with that?
Yes. Okay. That'll be all right.
All right. Very good. Well, doctor, thanks for coming in, and I guess have fun for the next 4 or 5 weeks or something.
I'll send you some photos.
Well, go ahead. I guess
that'll be cool.
I assumed everywhere was getting this. You said it's going to be like patchy.
It'll be patchy. I'm going to have to go find them, I think.
All right. Just listen for them, I guess.
So they don't necessarily, because for some reason in my mind, it's like, well, if you go to like Rothrock or any of the forests, like they're just going to be everywhere. That's not really so much the case.
You're going to have better luck in undisturbed forest areas.
Okay.
It might be that they're not on the map because the researchers 17 years ago just didn't go past Rothrock.
Gotcha.
Because they were driving interstates and in roads, just listening for them. So if you can't get into it via road, it's going to be more difficult.
Okay.
If you go to Rothrock, you might have good luck. I don't know if they're there or not, but it would be a good place to check.
We'll investigate.
This isn't like crickets where you could cook them up and do something with them.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
You could?
There's a lot of...
Sure.
Yeah, and they're big. They're supposed to taste like a crunchy lobster.
They're going to have protein.
A crunchy lobster.
Yeah, so
lobsters... Bottle them up, baby.
Lobsters and insects are related. And so you can imagine... And crayfish, too. And you can imagine... There's not enough meat in there to, like, pull the meat out, so you pull the wings off, pop the head off, cook the rest of the body up, and so that exoskeleton gets crunchy. But it's got a lobster flavor to it. There's all kinds of recipes you can find online for stir-frying them, putting them on pizza, doing other stuff with them. I've never had it. It's supposed to be pretty good if you can get past the the mouthfeel of the crunchiness, but maybe some people like that.
I mean, generally speaking, I like crunchy food. Like, I like the potato chip, like you would think. I'll bring in a bag, Geezy.
Okay, you do that.
I'll butter them up for you.
I'm turning green here. Holy fright. Doctor, again, appreciate the time. And
yes,
I guess,
thanks.
Like I said, have fun for the next month and a half.
Thank you.
Something. All right.
Appreciate the time and the information very much. Thank you.
All right. Crunchy lobster. Very